Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. When you found your place in your copy of God's Word, would you please stand as we read our sermon text together? Philippians chapter 2. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. How thankful we are, O Lord, that You speak to us through Your holy, inspired word, that we might know You, know Your Son, know the way of salvation and the way of life. Speak to our hearts. May Your Spirit apply Your word to us, that we might become Your people and live as faithful Christians. We pray for the lost who are in our number this morning. We pray Your Spirit would draw them to You and grant saving faith that they might believe and confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to You, my Rock and my Redeemer. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I imagine everybody has a favorite at Christmas time. Maybe there is a particular cookie or dessert that you like. Maybe there's a particular song or even an album that you want to listen to, and it just feels like Christmas. For me, one of the things that I really like at Christmas is Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's one of my favorites. In fact, my family last year, they decided that I like it so much and I am so much like the Grinch himself, they presented me my very own Grinch. Some people have Elf on the Shelf. I have Grinchy on the couch. Grinchy and I will sit together and we will bah humbug everybody and have a great time doing it. We love it. You know the story of Grinch, right? He's living up alone, up on his mountain, far, far away from everybody. And he looks down at Whoville and he grumbles and complains and he decides he's going to ruin Christmas because he doesn't like it. Cartoon Grinchy is a lot of fun. He's got Max and all these interesting contraptions and plans, and it's funny to watch and cheer him on. And yeah, his heart is two sizes too small, but when it grows two sizes too large, we all cheer and we're all happy when they share the Hoobies together and have a great Christmas. Cartoon Grinch, fun. Real life Grinch, not so much. And I bet you know a real life Grinch. Maybe you are like me and have some Grinch-like tendencies and qualities about you. What was the Grinch's problem in the cartoon? The Grinch didn't care about anybody else. He only cared about himself. What's the problem with a real-life Grinch? What's the same thing? Cares about nobody else except himself or herself. In Philippi, the city that this letter of Philippians was written to, in the Philippian church, there was some Grinch-like attitudes. It was draining the church of joy. If you've read Philippians before, and if you have been in Bible studies centered on the book of Philippians, you know that one of the major themes in the book is joy. And the reason that Paul talks so much about joy in this book is not because they were so good at it, and not because everything was so great. It's because they were missing joy. I wonder how many of you here this morning are missing joy. I wonder how many of you are going through life without joy in your heart. I wonder how many of us are Grinches. Once we peel back the layers, the Grinch-like mindset was draining the Philippian church of joy, and the Grinch-like mindset brought misery upon that church, and it brings misery upon us. This morning, what I want you to understand is that this Grinch mindset is really at its core self-serving. It's this attitude that says, I want everything to revolve around me. I want it to be all about me, what I want, what makes me happy, and I don't care about anybody else. You see, it's characterized, according to verse 3, by selfish ambition. Selfish ambition is this push to get my way to the front, for me to be on top, and I don't care who I have to step on, I don't care who I have to push out of the way, I'm going to be front and center, I'm going to be on top. It's selfish ambition. Now, there's a good form of ambition. I mean, we want our kids, we want our grandkids to grow up and be successful. We were joking in Sunday school this morning about how we want our kids to stay at home. But the truth is, we want to see them grow up and mature and be successful in life, right? And in order to do that, you have to have some level of ambition. You have to have some level of push. You have to have some drive in you. To be the best that you can be, to do the best that you can, to be as successful as you can be. That's not a bad thing. But when you say, you know what, I don't care who I step on, I don't care who I have to crush, I don't care who I have to manipulate or take advantage of, all of a sudden you've gone from a good form of ambition that urges you to be the best you can be to being very selfish, where you start using people and manipulating people. This is a self-serving mindset that kills joy. This self-serving mindset is also characterized by vain conceit. You see this in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Vain conceit is the attitude that looks at everybody else with contempt. This empty attitude that says, I'm so much better than everybody else. And it puts down everyone else as it overinflates ourselves. It overestimates us. This is self-serving. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody in your life, in your orbit, maybe in your family, who is a Grinch, who cares only for themselves, They're selfishly ambitious, trying to get what they want. I don't care about anybody else. They are just vain and conceited, and they look down on everybody and treat everybody with scorn. If you could have a moment of honest reflection, would you say that I'm kind of that way sometimes? This is opposite of what we should have. You see, we're called to a Christ-like mindset. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We are called to have a Christ-like mindset. And the Christ-like mindset is characterized by self-giving. Instead of being self-serving, the Christian is to be self-giving. Verses 5 through 8 help us to see what this is. In verse 6, we see the characteristic of surrender. Jesus surrendered himself. Who, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Last week, Pastor Michael shared with us from Colossians 1 about the supremacy of Christ over all creation and through redemption. Jesus is God who came in the flesh. Jesus is eternally God who stepped into time. Jesus is God who became a human being just like you and me and walked among us. And when he did that, he said, I am going to surrender, not his deity. He did not stop being God. Jesus has always and forever will be God. But he said, I'm going to set aside, I'm going to set on the shelf my prerogative, my exercise of my freedoms as God. I'm going to confine myself to a particular time and place. I'm going to suffer heat and cold. I'm going to be hungry and thirsty. I'm going to surrender my rights as God and subject myself to the limitations of human existence. And that's what he did. A Christ-like mindset is self-giving, characterized by surrender. He didn't consider his equality with God something to be grasped, something to be used to his own advantage. Next, it's characterized by service. Verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know, Jesus could have come into this world and blew a trumpet and said, y'all bow down to me now, y'all worship me, and he would have been perfectly right in doing so. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess and honor and worship Jesus, but that's not how he came the first time. The first time he did not come to be served, but to serve. He came as a servant. Now, understand, Jesus didn't come as a slave. A slave is somebody that you take into bondage and you bend that person to your will. Jesus was never a slave to any of us. He was never enslaved by us. We don't have the right, we don't have the ability, we don't have the capacity to boss Jesus around and make him do this or that. Anytime people came in and tried to do that to Jesus, he would say, I don't think so. Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the people said, hey, that's pretty good. So Jesus, we're going to make you king and you're going to keep feeding us. And Jesus says, no, we're not going to do that. I'm not your slave. Almost sounds like mama that way, right? You know, I'm not your slave around here. Jesus was not a slave, but he was a servant. And by being a servant, Jesus pursued what was best for everybody around him all the time. You see, as a servant, sometimes Jesus would heal people. As a servant, sometimes Jesus would preach hard truths to people. Sometimes Jesus was incredibly tender and merciful, And sometimes he was hard. You know, sometimes you gotta be very gentle with somebody, and sometimes you just kind of gotta get up in their grill, right? And Jesus did that because he served our best interests at every turn. He was self-giving, and it made him a servant, and that ultimately led to sacrifice. He was self-giving because he surrendered his rights, his prerogatives as God, to come and walk among us as a human being, a real flesh and blood person. He served us by meeting our deepest needs, and our greatest need was salvation that came only through his sacrifice. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Why would he do that? It's because you need salvation, and apart from his atoning death, there is no salvation. Dear friend, God loves you so much that he gave the greatest gift ever given. He gave Jesus, who died for you. And just like any gift, you've got to receive it. Maybe in your life you've received something you didn't really want. And you ever received something you didn't want? You know, somebody says, here, I want to give you a gift of a cat. I'm like, well, I don't want that. I'm offending the cat people. You should be offended. Cats are terrible. Yeah. I'm just teasing. Somebody gives you a gift and you don't want it. You're like, ugh. And you just try to get rid of it. God gives you the gift of love, gives you the gift of salvation, gives you the gift of eternal life. But have you received it this morning? Have you accepted it? Some of you haven't. So you don't benefit from it. But God gives you the greatest gift of all. He gives you salvation through His Son, Jesus. And that only came through His sacrifice. This is what self-giving looks like. And this is how joy comes. Self-serving brings misery to all, especially the Grinch. He's miserable. And as long as you turn in on yourself, as long as you are supreme in your life, no matter what you do, no matter how you try to push yourself to the top, no matter how you try to push everybody else down, no matter how much you try to accumulate to yourself, trying to fill up your heart, it continues to shrink and get smaller and smaller and smaller, and there is no joy there. But when you give, when you offer yourself up, first of all, to the Lord, and then to those whom the Lord loves, you find that self-giving brings joy. That's what Jesus did. So, let's be real for a moment. Let's be honest and say, you know, that sounds nice, but if I really buy into this self-giving mindset, I'm going to be taken advantage of. What if others take advantage of me? What if somebody, you know, they see that here I am, I'm surrendering my rights, I'm serving the best interest of other people, I'm willing to sacrifice myself for the good of others, just like Jesus did, they're going to take advantage of me. And the answer to that is, trust God to take care of you. You see what happened to Jesus, verses 9 through 11? Therefore, God exalted him, exalted Jesus to the highest place. Jesus came and he surrendered, he served, he sacrificed. And so God exalted him. God lifted him up. God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is how it works. You say, I'm going to give, Lord, I entrust myself to you, and God says, I'm going to take care of you. Don't you worry. Somebody comes in and tries to take advantage of you. Somebody tries to manipulate you. Somebody tries to take advantage. I'm going to take care of you. And we know because He did that for His Son. Trust God. The Bible tells us, in a couple of places actually, in James and in 1 Peter, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's what self-giving is. It's humbling yourself before God. It's surrendering yourself to Him and letting Him take care of you. Do you trust God enough to take care of you this morning? So, where does this Christ-like mindset come from? How do we get it? What do we need to do? What happens? Well, verse 1 shows us that it comes from our relationship with Christ. It's the overflow of our relationship with Jesus. Verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, do you belong to Jesus? Do you find your encouragement from Him? Do you draw your strength from Him? If any comfort from His love, do you know that He loves you? Are you resting secure in His love for you? If any common sharing in the Spirit, are you united with Him by the Spirit? Any tenderness and compassion, do you have tenderness and compassion from Christ today? You're only able to be self-giving as you are related to Christ. This doesn't come naturally. This is not something that you work on and you try to work up yourself. Rather, it is as you grow in your faith, your trust, your reliance, your dependence on Jesus, the more you look to the cross, the more you behold His glory and His service and sacrifice, that you are able to follow in His steps in this way. That's the secret. Don't beat yourself up and say, man, I'm such a jerk. I've been using people at work. Man, I've been so selfish with my family. Yeah, confess your sin, but start looking to Jesus. Because He has forgiven all of your sins, and He gives you new life to live the Christ-like mindset. So what happens when we start living this way? What happens when we adopt a Christ-like mindset in our lives and we pursue it? Well, verse 2 tells us that there is abounding joy for everyone. Paul writes, make my joy complete by being like-minded. Hey, share in this common attitude. Share in this Christ-like mindset. And you're going to complete, you're going to fulfill my joy. And not only my joy, but your joy as well. This is where joy comes from. And then there's shared love. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love. This is how love begins to flow in families and in churches. And then we're one in spirit and one in mind. There's unity. We're bound together. This is what happens when you have a Christ-like mindset of surrender, service, and sacrifice. When you are self-giving instead of self-serving. So what do we do when we have this kind of mindset? What's going to be true? What are the evidences? What are the signs? What will we see in our lives when we have a Christ-like mindset? Well, verses 3 and 4 tell us that we will be humble. Verse 3 says, in humility, value others above yourselves. We're going to be humble. We're not going to be tooting our own horn. We're not going to be pushing our way to the top, but there's going to be humility about us. Not a self-loathing, but a humble spirit. Because our identity comes from Christ and not the accolades from other people. We don't have to push our way to the top or to the front. We'll begin to value others. We, in humility, we value others above ourselves. We start to appreciate other people. Poor Grinchy didn't appreciate anybody until he had a change of heart. And neither will you until Christ changes your heart. You'll begin to value others. You'll look out for others. You'll start being concerned about other people. You'll be aware. You'll be cognizant of the needs of other people. And that will cause you to defer to others. Instead of saying, me first, you will allow others to go ahead of you. Because you're seeking the best for other people. So this morning, let me close by asking you, what's your mindset? Is your mindset Grinch-like? Are you selfish? Seeking the best only for me? Greedily taking everything that you can get? Are you a Grinch? Or are you Christ-like? Are you being selfless? Are you seeking the best for others? And are you happily giving of yourself and what you have to be a blessing? To share the love of Christ and bring the hope of the gospel to others? Which category did you fall in this morning? I hope you'll be like Jesus. And the only way to be like Jesus is when Jesus is your Savior and Lord, when He is forgiving you of your sins, and when He's in charge of your life. This morning, if you're still in bondage to your sin, He will forgive you if you turn to Him. And if you'll make Him the Lord of your life, if you'll give your life to Him, He'll lead you. And you'll find true and eternal joy. So give your life to Jesus and be like Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we be more and more like Jesus. Who gave of Himself for the glory of His Father and for the good of humanity, who found joy as He looked through the cross, and so therefore He endured it. May we give of ourselves by surrendering first to You, by becoming Your servant, even to the point of sacrifice. May we be more like Jesus. Save those who are lost. Help that person who is here, that this is sounding so bizarre and so strange. But they know deep down, they've been trying to be self-serving for so long, and it continues to leave them empty and joyless. May Your Spirit help them to see the way of Jesus and turn to Him. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.